Hi, everybody. I'm Terry Brown, and this is Bass Fan Radio. And folks, every so often I get a guy on that maybe you haven't heard about, but will start to very quickly. But I tell you what, John Murray has been a guy that's been around this bass fishing business a long time and is starting to take the world by storm. And John, welcome to the program.
Well, it's great to be here. I look up Bass Fan every time I have a chance.
Well, we have been fortunate enough to be able to follow your career from the West Coast to the East Coast, and I know for a lot of years out on the West Coast, you dominated. You were a guy that seemed like every so often would win one of those big events, you know, whether it was U.S. Bass or, you know, or One Bass or all the West Coast trails. But now all of a sudden you've decided to come east, and it's been pretty good to you.
Yeah, it's a good start this year. I've tried to remain consistent throughout the years, and that's usually my goal. I usually don't try to win too many tournaments, but if I can place well, I'm happy. And it's been working out pretty good on the Bass Trail this last year and a half or so.
Well, you've been to the Bassmaster Classic a couple of times, and then on top of that here recently won the Open Championship, the first one ever held, and had already made it to the Classic, so you didn't have to use that spot, but it was kind of bragging rights, wasn't it?
Well, it turned out to be. Yeah, I had never won a Bassmaster event, so that was definitely one of my goals this year and next year was to win one. So I'll take any one I can get, and that was definitely a highlight for me.
Well, you know, sometimes as an angler, you go against the grain a little bit, and the fishery was Toledo Bend, and it has a great population of standing trees. A lot of those have since diminished since the early impoundment days, but grass has taken over, and you kind of chose not to fish the patterns that everybody else was fishing, didn't you?
Yeah, I think that comes with going to a lake you're not real familiar with. I knew that the grass was a major deal on that lake, and I fished the grass last February, the only other time I fished there. But I really felt like I wanted to get something else going if I could, since I was just basically trying to win the tournament. I didn't have to make the Classic through that or anything like that. So it was just sort of a free tournament. There wasn't any points. So I wanted to get something different, found an area no one was fishing and figured out a pattern that produced some big fish, and I guess it was just my week.
Well, let's talk about that pattern a little bit. You know, everybody was throwing a rattling bait, you know, a rattle trap or a rattling spot or something like that, and I know you might have caught a few on that, but you also drop shot a few fish, right?
Yeah, right in the second day of the tournament, we had a huge cold front come. Yeah, and that basically shut down all the reaction fish in my area the second day. Luckily, I was able to get on that drop shot bite, still catch fish, you know, when other guys were going right over them with those reactions.
Well, you know, John, I guess maybe for the listeners out there, could you kind of go over the drop shot and how you fish it and basically some of the techniques that, you know, maybe some of the people that are listening wouldn't know about?
Well, it's real key components. I use a light fluorocarbon, usually a 6 or 8 pound fluorocarbon, Yamamoto fluorocarbon line, which is very expensive, but great sensitivity. I use a small roboworm hook called a rebar. That's very fine wire that hooks them well. And then I use a tungsten weight, a Tanji tungsten sinker. And so the whole setup's very sensitive. Now, I don't do a lot of shaking on my drop shot. A lot of guys really like to shake it a lot. I do a lot of swimming with my drop shot. So I'll use it as an actual casting. Cast it out and swim that worm back, keeping about a 12 or 14 inch leader. And that worm, it's basically like old slider fishing, but it keeps a very good contact with the bottom. And if you get in a primary, you can stop it and you can just really tease those fish. So I'm using almost like a search bait. It's obviously slower than a reaction bait, but it works well.
Well, now, did you use that on a spinning rod or did you throw that on a casting rod?
Well, you can do both, but I do throw it on a 610 Westie Worm spinning rod, and I use a Shimano reel. And I like the feel of the spinning rod. I feel like I can control it a little better. I like the way it feels on a dead slack. But you can use either one. A lot of guys do use a bait cast for that.
Now, you're casting that bait, and you may make that good long cast. And as you're reeling it in, that the weight is actually on the bottom, but the bait is 14, 15 inches above the weight, correct?
Yeah, and it just imitates a minnow very exactly as it swims through the bottom or near the bottom. And you can stop it, and you can, you know, keep it in place if you need, and really tease them if you get in a good spot. And actually, I had a couple of key areas that if I could drop that bait on it was basically a bridge abutment where there was a hole underneath the bridge. It seemed like those fish would come out under that hole and get it once in a while.
Well, you know, as an angler, you've been around this thing a long time, and one of our good friends at Ranger, Keith Tripp, was telling me, you know, he says almost every time whenever he talks to you, you know, you're pretty humble, but he knows when you're on him and when you're not, and he felt like at this Open Championship, that tournament was yours to win. And you know, I think a lot of guys that are around you are starting to get the feel that that's happening more and more for you.
Well, it's sort of funny. I mean, after 20 years of bass fishing, I do know that when it's your week, things just seem to work out. You don't get any of the bad breaks, and everything just goes your way. And it started early in the week. I got on that drop shot fish, and I caught him that second day when, I mean, it was very hard to even fish. It was blowing so hard. So once that happened, I just had a sort of a free feeling to go out there and fish hard, and, you know, the rest of the week turned out really good.
Well, I guess I want to go back to the drop shot real quick if we can. You know, you talked about the cold front. Do you feel that that's really when it really shines, or can you fish it, you know, summertime deep water patterns? When are the best times for that drop shot to work?
Well, you use it, you know, year-round, and you can use it under a lot of conditions, but it really shines when you have a situation like that where a cold front just pounds an area and you still have to go out there. You know the fish are there. They're eating a crankbait a day or two before, and all of a sudden you cannot get a bite. That's perfect for a drop shot because it just teases them. It keeps that bait in front of their mouth, and you can just really work on catching those fish under those conditions.
Well, John, you know, as an angler, you know, and coming from the West, you know, techniques can be a little bit different. Big swim baits and stuff in California, of course, and finesse techniques as you go to some of the other deep water impoundments. But now you're moving east and you're fishing some different water, and they seem to be doing just as well. Do you think that California and Arizona fishing has helped you?
I think so. You know, one thing about fishing the West Coast, we fish delta tidal water all the way to 60 foot deep on Lake Mead, you know, where, you know, we got 40 foot visibility. I mean, you have to know how to fish all the different techniques out here. And so when you get back there, there's really nothing you're going to run across that's any different. You know, I grew up fishing. And that sort of helps, you know, that versatility and confidence in those techniques really help you, you know, go to a new lake and just figure out a technique that works for that lake.
Well, you know, at the Bassmaster Classic a couple of years ago when you went the first time, a lot of guys were really picking you to win it, and you hadn't even been out in that area before. And I think maybe your reputation preceded you a little bit.
Oh, that's just a nice thing. And really, the way it boils down to me is I want to catch bass every day, and I don't do anything special to try to catch a big bag or anything like that. I fish the same way if I'm leading or if I'm last. I just try to get them, you know, my five right bites each day. So, you know, when it's your time, like Jay Yellen says, that time when he won the Classic, it's just your time, and everything will go right.
Well, you know, one of the neat things this year, folks, is you're going to get a chance to follow John. You know, he's going to fish FLW and BASS. And with Bass Fan, what we're going to do this year, he's going to be a member of the Bass Fan Army. You just recently joined us.
Oh, yeah, and I can't wait. I, you know, every morning get up and look at Bass Fan and Bass Fan Army, and I was just super pleased to join that and, you know, report and see how my year goes and sort of document my year and see what goes well and what goes bad.
Well, it's going to be nice. It'll be archived every event, and when John goes out there and has one of those great tournaments like he did at the Open Championship, or maybe when you don't do as well, which we hope that never happens to you, but it also teaches some of the people maybe that are out there that really don't know. You know, they see it, the fish caught on TV, they see the things that happen in a tournament, but maybe not know some of the hardships that you guys go through out on the road either.
That's exactly it. There's so many underlying stories. You know, that second morning at the Open Championship, if someone said, hey, you can go home right now, I think I probably would have thought about it. It was so miserable. It was so cold. I'd already made the Classic. But, you know, I had a partner who needed to do well, and I gutted it out and had a, you know, good day and turned out well for the whole tournament. But it's funny. It didn't seem that way at the time.
Well, you know, John, as an angler now, and you've been doing this a long time as a professional, and you know, the guys out on the East now, they see the name John Murray, and they're starting to get a little nervous. You got to be excited about the tour season starting here pretty quick.
Yeah, the tour is going to be absolutely great. Since I've already made the Classic, I don't have that overwhelming stress to catch a, you know, a small limit every day. I can actually have a couple bad days and be okay. I'm trying to make the E50s. It looks like I have a good shot at making the E50s, which is, you know, pinnacle for the bass fishermen. So I have some reason to be consistent again, but I don't have that stress on me that I've had the last couple of years.
Well, one thing I want to mention as well is you're number 12 right now in the Bass Fan rankings, and the world rankings are going to mean a lot this year because of the Top Gun Championship that will be held in August, and not too long away from now, John, we're going to announce that venue, so we're looking forward to having you at that as well.
Oh, that sounds exciting. I mean, that's where we have to go. When you have 25 of the top fishermen from both circuits fishing against each other on a fair spot venue like that, I think it's going to be just a fantastic tournament.
Well, I'm Terry Brown, and this is Bass Fan Radio.